Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. This is episode 284. I'm Jason Ophir, as always. Here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, what do you think? This is episode 284.
Oh, pretty good. Oh, wow. I'm really impressed, Jason. Good for you.
We're going to have to do something for episode 300. We're creeping on the 300.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to hit it this year, that's for sure. How was your week, Jason?
Pretty good. Just had 3 days off. Not doing a lot, playing a little bit of virtual reality and watching movies and generally being lazy, as I'm so good at doing. But you're the exact opposite. Yeah, I've had the last 3 days off and I've been completely inactive. I get short of breath just moving my leg. That's how inactive I've been. The exact opposite of you, because you work out.
I hope not.
And I gotta move my leg. I can't breathe. What have you been up to?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I hope not. Oh my goodness. What have you been up to? How was your week, other than just getting a few days off?
It has been so uneventful, but what I've learned in life is when things are uneventful, that is a good thing. I mean, no drama, nothing going on, just plugging away, doing the rat race like everybody else, going to work, having days off, having vacation.
Oh, my goodness.
Going to work. Yeah, the usual nightmare.
Well, I had a Chinese medicine lecture today over in West Lynn, and I was really excited to be part of that and, you know, have some people come out. I think we had 17 or 18 people. I was really impressed with the turnout. They said that was the biggest turnout in a small church, and a lot of people were really interested in Chinese medicine. It was really nice. I liked a small group. It was very intimate and really attentive and, you know, really soaking up a lot of information that I was giving them, and it was really nice. It was really good energy, and, you know, I really appreciate Sharon to invite me to do a talk and lecture about Chinese medicine, so I was really happy. And then, yeah, it was awesome. So, yeah, life is good and being busy now after the first of the new year, and, you know, still bikini bodybuilding, and I'm happy with the results. I mean, slowly but surely, but as a matter of fact, Jason, when I was calling you to call in and to get ready to go on air, I was actually doing like a before the transformation from like March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, about 9 months, I think 9 months transformation. Either 6 or 9 months. So, yeah, I just kind of looking at that and seeing how much I've progressed. Yeah, natural bodybuilding, no steroids, no PEDs, performance enhancing drugs. It's just the natural thing. So, but a lot of supplements, a lot of iron and vitamins and things like that, you know. But I'm very, very happy with myself. So, but let's talk about something else.
Yeah, what's going on in the paranormal? I
have been kind of out of it. The extent of my involvement in the paranormal this last week has just consisted of watching horror movies. But all of that is fictitious.
Oh, my goodness. And you sound like my daughter. She likes to watch
horror movies.
And you know
I love them.
Part of me has that little bit of curiosity, but part of me says, you know, I am just not interested. I know there's the other side of it. And I really don't want to, you know, I want to be able to sleep at night. So, you know, a little tiny bit, still a little sliver, I still am curious and kind of get the excitement of watching that kind of thing from the past. But, you know, I just don't want to go there because I know that sometimes you don't want that following you in your dreams.
It doesn't bother me too much, but I sure like a good horror movie. It's kind of like horror and science fiction are kind of the thing that I like the most. And so I enjoy that. I've just been sitting around doing that, not a whole lot. One of the things I wanted to touch on this evening, having to do with the paranormal, is all the paranormal fraud out there. I know we've touched on it many times in the past and haven't really talked about it in depth, I don't think, is... you know, I have a little bit of paranormal experience. I did some paranormal ghost hunting, and I don't watch a lot of paranormal television. Every now and then I do, but I notice a lot of things on television. I notice a lot of things with people that I know and groups, and there's just all sorts of shadiness and deception that goes out there. Paranormal world seems like it's gotten more about people wanting to become famous or get their own television show than really trying to find answers to all these questions we have about the paranormal. Don't you see that?
I think that, I'm going to ask you this question, Jason. How do you know that these people, and let me ask you, because, you know, to help the listeners to be informed, how can you tell... As a paranormal investigator, how can you tell that the person just wants to get famous instead of really finding evidence there is something paranormal? I mean, the first thing you get that impression is they're looking, they're ghost hunting or finding something that's unusual. But what's the feeling you get that you know or you think that they could be fraudulent?
Well, I've gone out. There's a difference between being intentionally fraudulent and just being ignorant, and I've seen both. I went out with a paranormal group many years ago, and it was kind of one of the deals. They didn't have any equipment. They basically watched two episodes of Ghost Adventures, and they were in people's houses conducting investigations. And the reason I figured out later is why they wanted me to go is because I had all this equipment. They didn't have any. And just watching their interaction with people, the homeowners are asking them, like, really simple questions about, like, the EMF meters, the electromagnetic detectors and stuff like that. And they didn't even know what the acronyms mean. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know, this person's, you know, watched an episode of Ghost Hunters or Adventures, and now they're a paranormal investigator. And it was kind of comical. The other thing I see is... people are so desperate to believe in the paranormal that they have activity that happens that has an explainable cause, but they aren't using any common sense to try and deduce whether or not it's actually paranormal or if it's explainable. So I see that a lot too, because I've run into things a lot of times where, wow, this seems really strange. And then you think about it and you try and deduce, is there an explainable cause? For example, I'll give you an example. During an investigation, we were asking questions, and we had the K2 meter. That's that electromagnetic meter that has the light bar that goes up and down.
Yes.
And every time we would ask a question, you know, if it's yes, make this meter go or whatever. It was many years ago. I can barely remember it. It would light up, and we're like, oh, wow. You know, we're getting, like... intelligent responses to our questions. And so I was pretty excited about it. I'm like, and then I started to think for a second. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Let's see if we can find an explanation. And I totally figured it out. And what it was people still had their cell phones on. And cell phones communicate independently. So anytime that cell phone would send a signal to the tower, whatever, or receive a text or whatever, it would cause that K2 meter to light up. And it just happened to happen around the time when we were asking the questions. So simple things like that is you really got to dig into it as an investigator, as somebody going out there and trying to find explainable causes. Because really, honestly, 9 times out of 10, stuff's explainable, in my opinion.
Wow. Explainable, huh? Wow.
Not everything. I mean, I've seen things that I can't explain and I couldn't disprove. But I've always, my background is as an investigator. Like, since 1992, I would, you know, I was an investigator catching employees stealing, and, you know, so that's really helped develop my investigation background, is, you know, this rational thinking and trying to figure things out. And so when I was in the paranormal, I was trying to apply those skills to paranormal investigating, which is a good thing.
Right,
but yeah,
right.
I can't explain everything. I mean, I saw captured on video what looked to be an apparition coming out of a basement floor and going right in front of the camera. I couldn't explain that. Was it paranormal? I don't know, but it was weird.
So was the apparition, if you don't mind me asking, what was it like? Was it like a mist, or was it actually partial manifestation, full manifestation? Was it a shadow? What did it look like?
There's a video of it somewhere, and I've got to find it. It looked like it potentially could have been a partial manifestation. It looked – it's hard to describe. It was like a light coming out of the – not almost like half of an outline, and it just comes out of the center of the basement, and then it just drifts slowly past the camera. And I'm going down there, and I'm trying to figure out – yeah, it just floats, just slowly. And I'm thinking, okay, well, there's no real lights from cars. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like a light coming in through one of the side windows. It was nothing like that. But, of course, we thought about that. I couldn't figure it out. One of the things we did also notice in this basement was there was a lot of spiders. And so we thought, well, maybe it's the IR light illuminating a spider web. But that wasn't the case. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Wow. I've seen, like, mist, you know, like a ghostly figure, but it was, like, misty, and it was, like, you know, it wasn't like a manifestation like you and me, you know, kind of like seeing, you know, colors or anything. It was more like a mist, like a grayish mist, and it was kind of an outline like a person, you know, like a dress. A person with a dress on, really misty, but it just kind of floated away from one, you know, it just kind of moved. And it makes you, you know, it's interesting because you try and, part of you is, like you said, that investigative part kind of tries to reason it out. Am I seeing things, or is this something that maybe, you know, is floating in the air or whatever? And the other part is like, wow, this is unusual. Yeah, I have witnessed something like that, but not full manifestation, but I have witnessed different things that are, like orbs. I've seen orbs in my whole, with my naked eye, I've seen literally orbs that are floating. They're round balls. I've seen them red. I've seen them like an orange color, orangey color. And I've seen them in a white kind of like a cloud mist color that floats around. It plays tricks with your mind. You wonder if you're really seeing things or you're actually seeing something, you know? Are you going insane?
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, you might not remember, a few years ago I talked about on the show, I used to work late at night, and I would drive in Portland, Oregon, and, you know, the roads are desolate at 1 in the morning, and I'm at a stoplight, and I swear, I see this cloud, maybe 4 feet high, in the crosswalk, just walk right in front of me, not right in front of me, but, like, you know, 20 yards away from me, and it's just
noticeable.
Drifting across. Yeah,
way,
it's dark, and it's drifting across. It's opaque, you know, and it's drifting across the road, and then it suddenly dissipates. And I was like, what did I just see? It was really odd. I have no idea what it was.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to turn around because I was starting my turn when it happened, and I thought, oh, man, I almost want to turn around and just kind of investigate it, but, you know, it's 1 a.m. I'll probably get shot by a gangbanger or something.
Oh, my God. I know you're playing, something was playing tricks in your eye with your mind in your eyes.
You know, when you see something out of your corner of your eye or see something in just a glimpse, it's easy to chalk up.
I've done that.
You know, that it's just a trick of your eye. But when you're staring at something for 3 seconds or more, it's hard to say, oh, well, it's my eyes are playing tricks with me.
Oh, my goodness. So, Jason, hey, what do you think about, what do you think we can do with this? I have been so devastated, so heartbreaking. I mean, they're, like, I don't know if I ever mentioned it, but there are people that, you know, really, you know, they have a heart for, you know, certain things. You know, some people, they want to help the seniors. Some want to help the children. Some people want to help, you know, animals. And I don't know, but I'm a big animal proponent. And, you know, with the paws and the grove that I created for a couple of years and things like that, I'm just so, oh, I woke up so devastated and crying this morning, seriously, just thinking about all the lost souls in the fire in the Australian, it's just horrible. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, what can we do? And I would like to donate. I'm going to be honest. I would love to donate some money, but I just don't know who to trust. How do you know that the money is going to go to that cause instead of somebody's pocketbook? That's the only thing that kind of hinders me. It's like the Red Cross, you know, by the time if you donate to the Red Cross, you know, they got so many, you know, people that, you know, from all the way from the president to all their workers and everything. By the time they actually get it to the workers or they use it, you wonder how much money really actually goes for the cause. So that's the only thing that really I'm hesitant about in donating is who do I donate where it's going to go directly to the animals to help rehab them or whatever you need, whatever they need.
Well, you don't want to know my opinion on that.
No, I do. Good, bad, or indifferent. I asked you, and if anybody wants to call in to make any suggestions, I'm open for any suggestion. I just don't want to make a wrong move and then find out, oh, they've been fraudulently, they've been taking people's money, they've been using the Australian fire and, you know, rehabbing the animals for that kind of thing. And, you know, and then you find out that it never went to the money you donate never went to the right cause. And I know the other side of it, we have a lot of animals that we need to take care of in our own country. Yes, I can see the other side, too.
Well, my opinion is you're absolutely right. They are supposed to report how much money is actually going, but what you'll find is, especially with the larger donations, that you're, for every dollar, maybe 2 cents is helping out. Ultimately, it's about people making money a lot of the time. Of course, there are good charities out there, but it's always lining somebody's pocket. So it's me. If I feel like I want to help somebody out, I'll find somebody sitting outside a grocery store or something like that, because, you know, these huge ones, they're just big corporations, and it's all about making money, and you don't know what's going to whom or how much or where, whatever, because in my opinion, and this isn't based on any knowledge that I have, it's based on just little pieces of information I've picked up over the years, is that you can't trust it. Everybody's out to make a buck for themselves. And if I feel like I want to help somebody, I'll find somebody that I can help directly, or a smaller charity, not a big charity, find a smaller one, that an animal rescue or horse rescue, something like that. Not these huge corporations where their CEOs are making $2 million a year.
I feel the same way as you. You and I are on the same page. you and I aren't on the same page. You know, I just want to be able to help directly, but you got these organizations that are starting, and I just kind of feel helpless. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I feel so bad. You know, what can you do? But then again, the other part of me is I don't want to give money that maybe, you know, if you say if you're going to spend, if you're going to give $20 a list per se, you only get $2 or $1 or even $10. I'm just not into it, you know. I'm like you. I'd rather give it directly to the people that need it, you know, directly to the hospitals and directly to the rehabs and things like that. So, but, yeah, I'll see what happens. I have a colleague. She's a bodybuilding she's a bodybuilder, and she's in Australia, and I reached out to her today. So, and hopefully maybe she might have a direct line of people directly that maybe I can help with the, you know, PayPal or, you know, something like that.
There's just too many. We live in a society that's full of scammers. There's legal scammers like these huge corporations or the government, which is probably one of the biggest scammers. But you always have people out there that are creating fake charities, fake GoFundMes. You know, there's stolen valor where people just pretend they're in the military and collect benefits or money. There was that one lady who said she was in 9/11, you know, and got all this money, and it turns out she wasn't even in New York at the time. I mean, everybody is trying to fleece everybody else. It's
wow.
Just the world we live in. And then, of course, the other countries see how vulnerable, you know, America is, and then you have people in India scamming Americans because they say that your computer has a virus or you owe the IRS money. I mean, we are the suckers in the world, Western culture. And if it didn't work, they wouldn't bother scamming us, but it works. They make millions of dollars because people just, I don't want to say people are dumb, but people just need to think more.
They don't do the research. They don't do their work to find out if they're legit or not.
I mean, you just have to do your due diligence and do your research and find out a charity, more than likely a smaller one would be safer, that will actually...
I think so, too. Absolutely. I'm agreeing with you. Totally. It's just, you know, I would like to help in a little way. And even, like I said, even $20 or $50, I'd be happy to, but as long as I know that it's going to go to a direct cause. And even with the local, you know, I'm a rescue person. I'm absolutely proponent. I don't believe, and I'm just crazy, but I'm going to put myself out there. I don't believe in buying animals. I don't care. You know what? There's so many animals that need to be adopted. You know, we as a human being, as an intelligent species, need to take responsibility and take control. We have animals. You have them for life, and you control them, and you train them. Because when you see an animal, especially a dog, they are a reflection of their owners. So if you don't train them, you don't give them discipline, consistency, and love, you're going to have a rotten dog and just like a child running all over the place, and you're not going to be able to control them. And so, you know, we have animals that need to be adopted. I used to buy dogs. Believe me, I used to buy them. I had a Samoyed. And late 70s, early 80s, I would pay $250 for a Samoyed. My gosh, it's just, I don't mean to say this, but it's a waste. There's too many animals that need to be adopted, too many. So I'm just a big proponent of rescuing dogs and cats and things like that. So, and I don't want to feed and support the puppy mills or the breeders because there's too many animals that need to be taken care of.
Yeah. We're surrounded by scammers. I hate to be a pessimist. In the paranormal, in the real world, in the corporate world, in the government. Oh, it's getting me all wound up, Sherry.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's part of it, you know, because you got to, you know, some people are not aware of it and some people are. And it's just your opinion. And I think that, you know, you have that balance. You can see the good side, but also you have to see the bad side because there are both sides to it. There are people that really do have, you know, show dogs. I mean, really good quality show. And the only reason why they're belting out show dogs is because they want this all about the breed and perfecting the breed and blah, 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 and making money and, you know, that kind of thing for show. But, you know, I wish there was just a limit to that. And then instead of having, you know, dogs that are unwanted or are in the hands of wrong people that can't control them or, you know, can't take care of them, and that's why they end up being strays or, you know, homeless or from one household to another or end up being in the shelter. So it's just from my experience. I went in and adopted a dog, and I didn't care what kind of dog. I was just looking for the right temperament. And when I saw him, I didn't care what breed he was. I wanted the right temperament. And when I adopted him, I got a jewel, you know. But you got to work with them, good or bad. So it's just when you adopt them, they're part of your family. And, yes, he sleeps with me. He sleeps on my bed. Some people don't like that, you know, to hear, oh, my gosh, you don't have a bed, dog bed for him? Yes, he has a dog bed, but he sleeps with us in our bed. He's part of the family.
Do you think, to twist this a little bit into the paranormal, do you think that pets, dogs, and cats and all them, do you think they have spirits?
Absolutely. You're talking to a psychic medium. Absolutely, Jason. Oh, yeah, I forgot we're supposed to talk about my business. We got into a tangent. Absolutely. Animals, whether they're dead or alive, they all have spirits and souls. Absolutely. All you have to do is tune into them.
Do you believe in reincarnation? Like, say, if I, God forbid, die tonight, could I come back as like a ferret or like a cat? Do you believe in that?
I would say you can. Some people say you can't. You can come in any form you want. Yeah, I don't think there's. You know, some people say, oh, you have to come in as your maybe your uncle or something like that. I don't think there's any limitations. I mean, I personally don't want to say no. You have to just come back in human form. Some people don't come back. Some people may come back into a dog, you know, or a cat. You just never know. I want to be open to that possibility, even though that I have not seen it, and I wonder at times, but I don't want to say no. That's not possible.
What about insects? Like, do they have spirits, too? Like the spider that...
Probably they have a soul, too. I would probably think they do. They have they're instinctual and they are they have feelings. It's just that we on a human level may not be able to understand or want to understand that they are instinctual and they have needs, but it's just not an intelligent way of thinking and reasoning like we have.
So I have this happened the other night. I have a hole in my wall, and I'm just sitting there, and I see movement out of the corner of my eye. Now, mind you, this hole is right by my head. It's within 2 feet of my head when I sleep at night. You know, the bed's against the wall, and then the hole's above the bed. And through the corner of my eye, I see these two giant black legs come out. And this big ass spider is about to walk out of this hole. And I'm not afraid of spiders. I don't have a problem with spiders. Although I will say black widows freak me out, but I'm not one of these people that's squeamish about spiders, but I choose not to have them crawl on me when I sleep. And there's a lot of spiders here. They're crawling on the floor all the time. It doesn't freak me out, but when I'm sleeping, I don't want something crawling in my nostril in the middle of the night. So I was like, the spider went back into the hole, and I was like, oh, no. Well, I was like, I don't have any tape. I don't have any way to deal with this hole in the wall, and it's my bedtime. I want to go to bed, so I'm looking around. The closest thing solution that I could come up with is I have a brand-new tub of toothpaste, and this is a big hole. So I'm jamming toothpaste in there, making an impenetrable toothpaste wall in this hole. But I found out toothpaste isn't a good way to block spider holes because after 5-10 minutes, it starts to run, and then the hole opens up. So then I grab some. So then I grab some yarn and I ball up a bunch of yarn, and so I have a toothpaste yarn plug in the wall so this giant spider doesn't come get me at night.
How big is the spider again?
Oh, I mean, it wasn't like a tarantula or anything, but it was, you know, it was probably an inch and a half long.
How about an inch?
The spiders I have here, I know what they are. They're called false widows. They're related to black widows. The bite isn't as bad, but it is not a bite that you want. They're male false widows, and I prefer not to sleep with them.
Are they big? Are they as big as a, I don't know. How big are they? About 2 inches, 3 inches when they spread their wings, I mean their legs and everything? How big are they?
I would say approaching 2 inches. I mean, they're not giant, but they're, you know, they're decent sized spiders.
Gross.
Yeah.
So you ever thought about getting a bug zapper? A tennis racket that's a bug zapper?
No, I have these spider traps that you put on the floor, and they're like these gooey little things. But it's not working. There's a lot of spiders. No. But
okay.
It occurred to me. I don't know. These spiders have probably been coming out of this hole for a long time. It never occurred to me that they were coming out of it, so I never paid much mind to it until I saw one of them try to. And so I'm like, oh, okay, this might be where some of these spiders are coming from. Because I see them quite often.
Yep.
They'll be on the floor, walking on the floor and stuff like that. And so, yeah. Not paranormal, but if you ever have to plug a hole, you can try toothpaste and yarn.
Wow. Maybe you might want to have something, you know, like metal or something, you know, bunch up aluminum foil or take a, go to Home Depot and go get a sheet of metal and nail it against, you know, like nail it on the wall, like a patch job.
I mean, probably have to
That's
do something. I'll see how long my plug works, but that is just a temporary fix.
I don't like spiders. I don't care for spiders. I'm not really a reptilian kind of person or that kind of, you know, I don't like spiders at all. Slugs and spiders, no thank you.
I've probably been bit and didn't realize it. About a year ago, I had all these weird welts on the back of my neck, and it's just really strange, in a strange pattern, almost like the pattern of a cross. And I was thinking, oh my god, have I been abducted by aliens? Like, what is going on? This is really strange. And so I work in a hospital, and I show the person I work with, and they're like, oh my god, that's really weird. So she walks me up towards the ER, and there's a doctor in the hall, and she's like asking him to take a look at it, and it was really strange, but it could be spider bites.
Were they holes? Because I heard that, you know, when you have a spider bite, they're like two holes. Is that right, or not necessarily?
I think yes, but I think the holes will probably be so small that a lot of times you won't be able to even see the actual puncture marks, but maybe, I don't know. There was no way for me to really look at the back of my neck closely.
So they were welted, really swollen and welted, huh?
Yeah, but it was weird because it was like almost in the shape of a cross. Like, what does that even mean?
Weird.
In the paranormal world, what does that mean? Is that like some sort of weird stigmata? Am I the Antichrist? Like, what's going on?
Maybe, like I said, you're being cursed by the spider.
yeah, that's exactly a curse I don't want.
Oh, my God. Talking about curses, I do have to say that January 19th, which is 2 weeks from today, tonight, we're going to have June Lundgren back, and she's going to come on. I just talked to her the other night. She's coming on for an hour and a half, and we're going to talk about curses. And Maria's going to join us, too. So Maria's going to join us for an hour and a half. So, Jason, you can join us, or you can join us for an hour, or you can skip out. It doesn't make any difference to me, but we've got it covered. So Yeah, June Lundgren's going to talk about curses and demons and curses, hexes, and vexes. What's the difference and that kind of thing. So, yeah, she's going to be on January 19th at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8:30 p.m. In 2 weeks.
Well, I have to say I'm pretty skeptical on the whole curse thing. I don't know that I buy it. I'm sorry.
I know. And I'll see June at the Ghost Conference. Love that gal. She's just wonderful. She's a great colleague. I love, referring her to the things that I don't want to deal with and anything with the dark side and the paranormal. So it's good to be able to have her be able to see anything that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, that's great. It's good to know people that are adequate and knows what they're doing. And like I said, I'm just looking forward to talking to her, having her on air for an hour and a half and talk about that. So welcome to join us. Like I said, Jason, or take the night off. It's going to be great anyway.
Well, just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
I know, that's the thing. UFOs. I've never seen a UFO, but just because I don't see a UFO doesn't mean I don't see exactly. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
I know a lot of people believe that.
Yeah, they do, and they probably not only believe, but they know that it does happen. And I personally believe, I don't just believe, but I know that happens. I just don't want to be around it or exposed to it. That's why I'm becoming, 2020 is more about self-awareness, not only with my body, but who I'm hanging around, how do I deal with them, and limiting my exposure to lower vibrations. Absolutely. yep. Because I want to raise my vibration and grow in a very good way with others, that we learn together without having any complications and that we're protected and things like that. And that's why it's part of being aware and being mindful of what your thoughts, who you hang out with, what you do, those kind of things.
Yeah, and I suppose that certain activities, you know, lower vibrational activities probably could make one susceptible to certain negative spiritual influences.
Yeah. Well, number one is, as I saw tonight, again, we're talking about alcohol. You know, if you drink alcohol, you lower your vibrations and you're more susceptible to having entities attached to you. Well, you do drugs.
Yeah.
You know, you just do really drugs, you know, hard drugs, you know, heroin or all these other things. You could probably do prescription drugs and just have the same effect. You're just, you know, lowering your vibration.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Speaking of curses, you know, there's been probably one of the most famous thing having to do with curses is the curse of King Tut, you know, in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Where all those people died. So the Howard Carter, the guy that discovered King Tut in the tomb, you know, ended up dying, and I think a bunch of other people died.
Yeah, you don't want to, you got to be careful. Just be very, very, have respect. If it's something negative or something, stay away.
So here's the people that died with the curse of Tutankhamun. There's a guy named George Herbert. He was a financial backer of the excavation, and he died after a mosquito bite, became infected. He died 4 months after the opening of the tomb. There's another guy named George J. Gold. He visited the tomb, died in the French Riviera. He developed a fever and died. Apparently, he was a visitor. Another guy died, was shot by his wife. Just a whole list of people that were somehow connected to the opening of King Tut's tomb that died. The guy that x-rayed King Tut's mummy died after a mysterious illness. And there's just a mix of assassinations and sicknesses. Another guy from the Carter's excavation team died from arsenic poisoning. And, I mean, there's like 10 people that died from this supposed curse.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
There were 11 deaths in the first 10 years since opening of the tomb. But to me, when I look at that, being a skeptic, I'm like, you're talking about the very early 1900s. People die all the time. Modern medicine wasn't back, I can't even talk. I think I'm cursed. Medicine back then wasn't, you know, what it is now. So people, of course, get sick and die more back in those days and probably didn't live as long. So I just see normal deaths, but people say it's a curse.
Wow. I think there's something wrong. Yeah, I just by looking, when you were talking about that, I just feel like there's something, there's too many coincidences of why people are dying, personally.
Yeah, I just find myself being skeptical. I mean, a few people died from mosquito bites. Well, yeah, there's malaria and infections. You know, I don't see anything paranormal. And the thing is that I was just watching a show a couple of weeks ago, and every week they're opening a new tomb in Egypt, and nobody says anything about a curse, though, you know, doing all that archaeological work in Egypt. You only hear about the King Tut's curse. Yeah. So I don't know.
Okay.
It's easy. I think
that's,
it's easy for people to just find, you know, when bad things happen, we want to attribute it to something. And so it's easy just to say, oh, it's a curse. You know, a few people died. There's all, you know,
yeah,
there's another. Have you heard of the Poltergeist curse from the Poltergeist, the movie?
No, I didn't. No, I haven't.
You know, Heather O'Rourke, the actress, the people that were affiliated with the Poltergeist trilogy, you know, were dying. There's the actress Heather O'Rourke, who had like intestinal obstruction, ended up dying, I think, at some point during the third movie. And other people died of cancer, and some other people died as well. Well, of course, everybody attributed it to some sort of curse. And you see that a lot of different movies. Did you ever seen the Twilight Zone movie from the 80s?
Yes, I have. Long time ago, but I don't know which episode. Yeah.
Well, it was a movie. It was like, and it had these four different short films in Twilight Zone, the motion picture. And people said that was cursed. There was a scene there where the helicopter, it was the Vietnam scene, and the helicopter crashed and it decapitated like two of the actors. You know, so people were saying that that movie's cursed.
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, actually,
that's,
I think
crazy.
The footage in there is still, it doesn't show the deaths, but that helicopter crashed and the rotor blades killed the lead actor in that scene and a child. And, of course, people are saying that's cursed. I mean, accidents happen.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Oh. You got to be careful, I guess. Are you worried about that?
About curses?
Mm-hmm.
No. Some people would say my life is cursed.
you don't want to think that.
No, it's just, I mean, bad things are always going to happen, and they're going to happen to good and bad people. And when bad things happen, it's just easy. It's like a human thing. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but to me, it seems like we always want to attribute it to something, maybe not always, but a lot of people want to attribute it to some sort of supernatural thing, a curse or a hex, and that's just human nature, when actually it's just nature. Bad things happen.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that could be, and I'd like to be open to that too.
It's just life. It's the crazy world we live in. It's just a chaos.
I know. Oh, look at all the earthquakes, and oh my gosh, we just have to be careful. I don't know. The world's getting crazy. I hope we we have a turnaround, you know?
Yeah, are we in the end times? We're all gonna
I don't
die.
Know.
There's always earthquakes. I'm still waiting for the big one up here in Oregon. We're due. I think we're past due for a megathrust earthquake off the coast of Oregon. That hasn't happened in several thousand years.
Andreas, a fault line, what is it, an earthquake and tsunami or whatever?
Yeah. Well, there's some big plate action off the coast, and it happened, I don't know, a couple thousand years ago. And they can tell that by going to the coast and looking at the sediment and all that. And apparently that particular series of plates off the coast triggers every so-and-so, and it's a devastating. I mean, we're talking about a megaquake. We're talking 9+. You know, if it happened today, it could potentially be the largest earthquake ever recorded. And we're just waiting.
Wow.
And when it happens, let me tell you, here in Portland, we have a lot of bridges that connect the various parts of Portland. And those bridges ain't going to last because the bridge situation up here is not well maintained. And, yeah, it's going to be ugly.
I know they were working on a couple of bridges. Yeah.
Oh, here I'm getting all doom and gloom.
I know.
I hope it doesn't happen in my
life. In your life, Jason?
I'm still alive. That's good. I just live in the rat race, and it drives me crazy. I want to retire. I want to. Yeah, I just think about, just life is so stressful. But part of me wants to just go off the grid. You know what I mean? Just like cash out everything you own.
Have you thought
and
about
go.
Maybe? Have you thought of maybe moving or anything like that so you can get better reception? Number one.
No. I don't know. It's a fantasy. I'm too addicted to technology. Well, it's a fantasy to go off the grid, but I'm too addicted to technology. I am an internet addict. I'm a video game. I don't want to say I'm a video game addict, but I like my video games. So to go off the grid and try and commune with trees and insects and hug plants and stuff, it's not in my DNA right now. I've got to be connected like everybody else. That's just...
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe you might want to relocate somewhere so you have better connection, better internet connection.
Hey, I've got great internet. I've got fiber optic internet. I just don't have good cell reception.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting, considering I live in the city of Portland, so I don't understand why my cell reception is crap. But
I know.
Who knows?
It's terrible. Yeah, you need to get better. I don't know. Maybe you need a booster or something.
Maybe it's the government. Maybe they've planted some sort of instrumentation outside my residence to steal my cell signal or something.
Oh.
Maybe I've been cursed.
Are you being paranoid?
I'm always paranoid. Hey, level of paranoia... A certain level of paranoia is healthy. You just can't cross that line.
Well, you want to be aware. That's true. You don't want to walk around oblivious. Well,
I am hyper aware.
Anyway,
though.
But I think, well, hopefully we all have a turnaround. Hopefully.
Yep.
Well.
Hopefully. We don't have any.
I don't want to look at the doom and gloom. Oh, my goodness. I hope not. Yeah.
Well, what can we do to raise the vibration?
How's everybody at the hospital? Is it getting better? Is it getting better or not?
Oh, it's crazy. It's always crazy.
Okay. lot of still, are you guys full as far as patient load and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a slow day at the hospital.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know. There's just so many sick people out there. Well, it's not even just sick people. There's just people. Because unless you'd be surprised how many people go to the ER and they shouldn't be in the ER. Like, go to your doctor, you know. There's people that go to the ER because they want a note for their work. I mean, who does that?
Oh, seriously? Really? I didn't know that.
I would say a quarter to 30% of everybody that goes to the emergency room should be treated at a doctor or even an urgent care and not in the emergency room.
So they get a note from the they have to get a note from the doctor to be dismissed?
Yeah, it's just stuff like that. You know, I stubbed my toe. I better go to the ER. I have a runny nose. I better go to the ER. I have a rash on the back of my butt cheek. I better go to the ER. And it ties up the whole medical system. When there are people that legitimately need to be in the ER, but what it does is it ties everything up. And
Life is that bad.
The reason it's like that is because people don't have medical insurance and people will get guaranteed treatment in an emergency room. So people go to the ER because they can't go to their doctor or they can't go to an urgent care because they're going to require you to pay cash on the spot and or have medical insurance. So that's why the ERs, it's not just this ER, it's every ER is like that because by law, the emergency room has to treat you. And then, of course, you have the people that are addicted to substances and pain pills. You know, they're pill seekers and, you know, say my back hurts or something. Give me some Oxycontin. You know, it's just a mess of society that we live in. People are addicted to everything.
That's too bad.
I'm being doom and gloom again.
You know, we're in a system that fights it because, you know, here they are. They're addicted to that kind of stuff. But